What good does this do me? Make me more brave, more just, more restrained? I have not yet the opportunity to make use of my training, for I still need the physician. Why do you ask of me a useless knowledge? You have promised great things. Test me. Watch me. You assured me that I should be unterrified though swords were flashing round me, though the point of the blade were grazing my throat. You assured me that I should be at ease though fires were blazing round me, or though a sudden whirlwind should snatch up my ship and carry it over all the sea. Now, make good for me such a course of treatment that I may despise pleasure and glory. Thereafter, you shall teach me to work out complicated problems, to settle doubtful points, to see through that which is not clear. Teach me now what is necessary for me to know. Farewell. Letter 110. On True and False Riches. From my villa at Nomentum, I send you greeting and bid you keep a sound spirit within you. In other words, gain the blessing of all the gods, for he is assured of their grace and favor who has become a blessing to himself. Lay aside, for the present, the belief of certain persons, that a god is assigned to each one of us as a sort of attendant, not a god of regular rank, but one of a lower grade, one of those whom Ovid calls plebeian gods. Yet, while laying aside this belief, I would have you remember that our ancestors, who followed such a creed, have become Stoics, for they have assigned a genius or a Juno to every individual. Later on, we shall investigate whether the gods have enough time on their hands to care for the concerns of private individuals. In the meantime, you must know that whether we are allotted to special guardians, or whether we are neglected and consigned to fortune, you can curse a man with no heavier curse than to pray that he may be at enmity with himself. There is no reason, however, why you should ask the gods to be hostile to anyone whom you regard as deserving of punishment. They are hostile to such a person, I maintain, even though he seems to be advanced by their favor. Apply careful investigation, considering how our affairs actually stand, and not what men say of them. You will then understand that evils are more likely to help us than to harm us. For how often has so-called affliction been the source and the beginning of happiness? How often have privileges, which we welcomed with deep thanksgiving, built steps for themselves to the top of a precipice, still uplifting men who were already distinguished, just as if they had previously stood in a position whence they could fall in safety. But this very fall has in it nothing evil, if you consider the end, after which nature lays no man lower. the universal limit is near. Yes, there is near us the point where the prosperous man is upset and the point where the unfortunate is set free. It is we ourselves that extend both these limits, lengthening them by our hopes and by our fears. If, however, you are wise, measure all things according to the state of man. Restrict at the same time both your joys and your fears. Moreover, it is worthwhile not to rejoice at anything for long, so that you may not fear anything for long. But why do I confine the scope of this evil? There is no reason why you should suppose that anything is to be feared. All these things which stir us and keep us aflutter are empty things. None of us has sifted out the truth. We have passed fear on to one another. None has dared to approach the object which caused his dread and to understand the nature of his fear. I, the good behind it. That is why falsehood and vanity still gain credit, because they are not refuted. Let us account it worthwhile to look closely at the matter. Then it will be clear how fleeting, how unsure, and how harmless are the things which we fear. The disturbance in our spirits is similar to that which Lucretius detected. Like boys who cower frightened in the dark, so grown-ups in the light of day feel fear. What then? Are we not more foolish than any child, we who in the light of day feel fear? But you were wrong, Lucretius. We are not afraid in the daylight. We have turned everything into a state of darkness. We see neither what injures nor what profits us. All our lives through, we blunder along, neither stopping nor treading more carefully on this account.